We are in Proverbs 3, finishing out Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 35. And Proverbs, what we have seen so far time and again, and is going to continue this morning, is God making his plea through Solomon that we would seek wisdom. Solomon speaking to his sons that they would seek wisdom, and he's emphasizing that once and again, which means we need to listen to his direction, his plea here. Proverbs 3, 13 through 35. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it," when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. And that is God's word. Let's pray. Father, who is in heaven, who is wise and holy, would you fill us with your spirit to understand your word and to view wisdom and desire wisdom as you call us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Finding wisdom is a treasure that has the power to change our lives and our family trees. A good friend of mine, Dan, who's been a mentor to me, a pastor for me for many years, he grew up in a picture of brokenness. You could say proverbial foolishness. Whether it was when he's young, his parents split, living with his mom, moving from house to house, showing up to his house one day, he recalls the story of seeing an eviction notice on his front door and needing to pack up and go to another house, power being off at times, and then surrounded by a community where drugs and prison were far too common, and was very much a path that could have been his were it not for a man named Jesus, you know, go figure, a man named Jesus that came into his life and helped him just be a father figure, get to his sports games, get to his little league game. And actually, sports was a big thing that got him out of that community. He got a scholarship to the University of Kansas, and that's where God took hold of his life. Outside of his dorm, a couple of people, a student, shared the gospel with him, and God transformed his life. He started looking at his word, started seeking out wisdom, and found wisdom, and he found things such as who God is and the fear of the Lord. He found wisdom that came from the Lord in terms of how to do relationships well, how to take care of money, how to navigate conflict. And God blessed him as he sought and found this wisdom. God blessed him with now a marriage that's nearly 20 years going strong, one that I and my wife have looked up to for a number of years now, and that many do. God's blessed him with 5 amazing kids, and he's a leader and a pastor in a church, someone who has shaped my life in so many ways. It's changed, like I said, his family tree. It's changed his life, it's changed my life, and both of our families, and so many more. Because wisdom is a key to the good life. We're in Nebraska, right? The good life. I've lived in Nebraska for a few years, seen the sign, right? Wisdom is the key to the good life. And because that's true, we are to seek it and to keep it. Our problem, though, is that though we desire this blessed, this good life, that's not our problem. Our problem is we want to go an easier route than what God has called us to, the path of wisdom. We are tempted to go the route and the path of the wisdom, so to speak, that the world gives us. And instead of seeking out the good, true wisdom that God has for us, God is calling us to seek after wisdom. The fear of the Lord. And when we do this, the door opens to the blessings laid out, as we see here in even this passage. So there's 3 aspects of the good life that I want to cover this morning. The first is the blessed life. That wisdom is the key to the blessed life, and so we are to seek after it. Right? We all know that wisdom is something that's good. We ask for it from time to time. But is wisdom really that important that I would call it the key to the good life? Take a look at verses 13 through 15. He says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her." That's a claim right there. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. He says that gain from her is better than from silver, profit better than gold. In an age of materialism and prosperity and wealth, that's a pretty big claim, that wisdom is better than profit, better than our money. The famous basketball player, Shaquille O'Neal, he recently came out, has been talking about some of his biggest failures in life. And he said that his biggest failure is coming home to his 70,000 square foot home, mansion, to nobody being there, to being empty. And it's not because he's an empty nester. He said, everybody's gone. Because of his foolishness, because of his failures, he comes home to this incredibly wealthy way of life with nobody to share it with. Truly, nothing you desire can compare with her, with wisdom. So what is this wisdom? If it's so valuable, what is wisdom? We have a sense of it, but what is wisdom? Look at verses 19 and 20. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. Wisdom is, as verse 20 said, it's his knowledge. It's God's knowledge. Or another way of saying it, it's the sound principles that he founded the earth by. It's the sound principles by which he made the world, by which the world works, that he made it. It's not just this set apart set of principles that we can find apart from God. No, it's the sound principles by which he made the world. That is wisdom. It's us having to submit to the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is founded on the fear of the Lord. It's trusting him, and it's the sound principles of life. Like I mentioned before, money, relationships, down the line. Wisdom is the sound principles by which he made the world. Okay? It's important. It's the sound principles. It's the key to the blessed life. What is this blessed life that Solomon lays out for us here? First he talks about long life. Look at verse 16. He says, long life is in her right hand, in Lady Wisdom's right hand. Long life, right? We all desire a long and healthy life. But there's two different kinds of wisdoms at play, right? There's the wisdom, so to speak, of the world, and then there's the wisdom of God's sound principles of fearing him and trusting him. The wisdom of the world, the easier path that we can fall into, one example of trying to find long life is these silver bullets, so to speak, through medical silver bullets. Trying to find long life, seeing on X, do we call it X now? Twitter, recently, this guy who lived till 120 because of spending millions of dollars on supplements and whatever else of trying to get long life. This is the way of the world. We treat our bodies foolishly, like crap, and then we try to overcome it with these medical silver bullets. God's wisdom, however, we see is to consider, how did he design the body to function? How did he design the body in terms of our food, in terms of, yes, we can do supplements or exercise, and how do we walk in this sound wisdom? But then there's another component. We're not just bodies, we're bodies and souls. So if we neglect the soul, we can do all the body work, and then we're just as broken as somebody who's just going an easy route. We can't neglect the body nor the soul. Scripture lays out clearly that we don't overcome death. We don't surpass death just through our own way of trying to find long life, through exercise, through whatever medical treatments. It says that he abolished death through the cross, through the resurrection, through the gospel, and that God has brought life and immortality to light through Christ in the gospel. That is great wisdom. That's the wisdom of the fear of the Lord, trusting him, that we can build upon these sound principles of seeking after long life. Wisdom is the key to the blessed life. He continues with riches and honor. Verse 16 still. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Here again, there's the way of the world, there's true wisdom. The way of the world, we seek after riches, whether it's through gambling, through neglecting our families, neglecting our spiritual life. And yet Proverbs 13:11, God's wisdom says, wealth gained hastily or dishonestly will dwindle. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle. It's wisdom. But whoever gathers little by little will increase it. That wealth or riches and honor are in her right hand, left hand, in her left hand. I don't know if there's something there. Riches and honor are in her left hand. Whoever gathers little by little, when we steward what God has given you well, it will increase over time. A third way here we see of the blessed life is ways of pleasantness and paths of peace. Look at verse 17. Her, speaking of wisdom, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. What's the way of the world when it comes to pleasantness? We seek out this blessed life of pleasantness. A lot of times anymore, it's, I want pleasantness, I want to get into isolation. These people around me are not allowing me to enjoy pleasantness, so I'm going to isolate myself in whatever way. Or we can seek out pleasantness through flattery. We flatter people to try to find pleasantness, and it falls short. The way of the world, the wisdom of the world does not work, but the way of wisdom, the sound principles, the trusting the Lord, the fear of the Lord, to seek out pleasantness is to use our tongue to love, is to use our tongue to build up relationships, to care for people. There's so many proverbs, and in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, that speak of using our tongue well to reconcile and to build up good relationships, to have true pleasantness in our lives and in our relationships. So wisdom, the sound principles by which God has made the world, is the key to the blessed life. Despite a number of great obstacles, my friend Nancy has truly sought out and found wisdom in this blessed life. She's got a lot of things against her, or several things against her. She's got a couple of daughters that don't really necessarily live close to her. Her husband passed away a while back from a tragic accident. She's not living in her early years of life. She has a large farm to take care of. She has a fair amount of money that she could use to soothe her pain, to find joy, so to speak, in this life. She's got obstacles in her path. But instead of taking the life of comfort and pleasure, or even becoming an unpleasant, bitter woman, which is very easy when circumstances like that hit your life, she is quite the opposite. She has given her heart to God and to seeking wisdom, seeking it out in His Word, seeking it out in the good, godly relationships in her life. She gives herself to hard, meaningful work when she doesn't have to. She works harder than a lot of people. She's amazing. She regularly spends time praying for the gospel to spread across the globe, and is an inspiration to me and to many others. She uses her gift of hospitality to make meals for people in need. Right, we have a 7-week-old. She's making meals for so many people, us, and she uses her gifts to serve people. And then she's even joined our life group of people not in her stage of life. Most of the people in our small group, our life group, are younger kids, families, and she's there to learn. She's there to serve, to minister. She is a picture to me of so many things, but one is seeking wisdom, finding wisdom, and finding the blessed life of wisdom, of following the sound principles of God and fearing Him and trusting Him. So church, seek after wisdom. Right, you're going to hear that a few times this morning and probably in the weeks ahead. Seek after wisdom. And one important step in this process, if we're going to find the blessed life, is that we would open up our hearts to God and open up our hearts to others. Because what I've found is that it is difficult, if not impossible, to seek after and to find wisdom if our hearts are closed off to God and to others. And it's a temptation. You know, things aren't going our way, something has happened in our life, and we want to close off our hearts, to guard our hearts. And in order to seek after wisdom, we have got to open up our hearts to God, to open up our hearts to the people in this church, to the godly people He's put in our lives, and say, teach me wisdom, God. Help me to learn Your ways. So the blessed life comes from wisdom, and we see a key component of this blessed life is peace. That ever evasive peace. Wisdom is the key to the peace-filled life, and we are to keep it. So what kind of peace are we talking about here? What does peace look like? Look at verses 23 through 26. It says, "Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Right? This peace is walking on your way securely. It's having sweet sleep, which can be an evasive thing at times. Unafraid of sudden terror that will keep your foot from being caught. In other words, peace is the confidence in the Lord that He will care for us, that He will protect us. And then that plays out in this life of peace. Who doesn't want that? But how hard can that be at times, especially in our age that seems to be riddled by anxiety? So how is wisdom the key here? Look at verses 21 and 22. He says, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck." A few things that come to mind, or even just reading through Proverbs, of wisdom that leads to a peace-filled life is walking in righteousness. Being righteous leads to peace in our lives. Proverbs 11:8. Says, "The righteous is delivered from trouble." The righteous is delivered from trouble. Righteousness actually leads to being delivered from trouble, leads to peace in our lives. But the wicked walks into it instead. So righteousness is wisdom that leads to peace. Trusting in the Lord. Last week we looked at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, for He will make our paths straight." Peace comes from this wisdom of trusting with all our heart in the Lord. And the third one here is taking our burdens to the Lord. This one comes from the book of Psalms, but it's still wisdom there. Taking our burdens to the Lord. Psalm 55 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you." And He will sustain you. In an age of anxiety, and in a time when the concerns of life can definitely hit me and just continue to be before me, of how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to deal with this that's coming down the road? Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. The confidence that God, our Lord, will protect us. He will care for us. That is peace that comes from wisdom. The wisdom of the Lord versus the world's wisdom. A couple that come to mind of meditation. I even searched on Google, like, how do I find peace in my life? And there was a lot on meditation, finding this inner peace in my heart. And I kind of throw in that a similar thing of a like self-realization therapy that kind of fits in that same category. This finding this inner peace, finding who I am. And when I'm facing the concerns of this world, the trials that come my way, I need more than an inner peace in my own heart that's just from me of knowing who I am. I need a God who is powerful, who is sovereign over the, who made and created the world, who says that he will sustain me, who I'm putting my trust in him to provide, to care, and to protect. It's wisdom that unlocks the key to the peace-filled life. My friend Zachary has gone through a number of troubles and unfortunately has not sought after and not kept the wisdom that leads to peace. His anxiety has been growing in his life to the point where he's getting these occasional anxiety attacks. Hours of just not being able to deal with his circumstances, and he's also dealt with insomnia for a number of years now. He's grown up in and around the church. He's heard the gospel. He's heard the word of God. But it's not just about seeking wisdom. It's about keeping wisdom. And he's not always kept wisdom. After talking with him some more, I found out that much of his situation stemmed from his dad having heart issues when he was younger, to the point where he thought he was going to lose his dad. He had surgery, he was better, and then come to find out in recent times his dad's heart's acting up again. And Zach trying to figure out how to deal with this. Am I going to lose my dad? Instead of using this wisdom of casting our burden upon the Lord, of trusting him, of looking to godly men and women to walk alongside him, has instead more bottled it up. And it's led to these physical realities of anxiety attacks and insomnia. And my prayer for him, he's working through these things right now, as I'm sure most of us are dealing with various degrees of this, that we're working through these things. Is my prayer for him is that he's taken some of the wisdom that I pointed to him towards and shared with him from the scriptures of even these simple, seemingly simple, small things of casting our burden upon the Lord, of looking to him in our time of need and anxiety. He is the only place of finding true peace, confidence in him. So church, keep it. Don't just seek it out. Keep this wisdom. Keep this sound wisdom. Hold on to it. Do not lose sight of these, Solomon says. It will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. And one original, not original to me, original to the OG, the beginning, what has continued to be sound wisdom is that prayer would be a significant part of our lives. That we would give ourselves to not just distracted, ritualistic prayer that we can play out in our lives, but wholehearted, undistracted, as much as you can with, if you got toddlers in your house or craziness, but seeking out this undistracted prayer where I can bring my heart, my concerns before the Lord. That this is how we keep sound wisdom. So wisdom unlocks both the blessed life and the peace-filled life. And lastly here, I want us to see that wisdom, the wisdom of humility, unlocks the gift of favor. So wisdom is the key. Because wisdom is the key to favor in life, we are to seek it and to keep it. Look at verse 34. It says, toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. To the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. James 4, 6 carries this over, translates this to maybe a little more familiar. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Right? Same thing's going on here. To the scorners, he is scornful. God opposes the proud, and to the humble, he gives favor. God gives grace to the humble. Now, it's important that when we think of pride, we don't just think of the out loud, the most proud person you come across, you think of. Pride can often more so be exhibited in our quiet, just resisting any kind of wanting to hear other people's opinions, being self-interested, not willing to think of others, not valuing others above ourselves. This can be a quiet thing, that God opposes the proud. To the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. The wisdom of humility says, I am thinking of others above myself. I'm thinking of others above myself. And in that, we get favor, right? The people who I see in my life who have great ability, who are competent, who are asking me questions, who are humbling themselves to learn from me, those are people that I give the favor of. I want to have a relationship with them. They're amazing people, and they get favor with people and favor with God as they walk in this humility, this wisdom. It's caring about others. It's seeking out understanding, even when we don't necessarily gain a ton more from the people we're seeking it out from. Here we see Jesus exemplifies this pinnacle of wisdom in humility. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 9. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. That's wisdom. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I want to pause here. Right, this is familiar verse, passage, I would assume. I want us to look at this with new and fresh eyes. Which is yours in Christ Jesus, verse 6, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. What an amazing, what a glorious God and Savior that we serve. The humility, the love, that he walked in, that he showed, that he set before us to deliver us and to show an example of the humility, the wisdom of humility that he calls us to walk in. Of not emptying himself, taking on the form of a human, and then becoming obedient. There's that part of wisdom that's the fear of the Lord. Wisdom isn't just these sound principles that I can go pick up a book. It's a good book, but pick up a book by Stephen Covey and get these principles and live them out. No, wisdom is that, but it's founded on the base, the foundation of the fear of the Lord. That Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the Father, even unto death on a cross. So church, we are to seek and to keep wisdom, and here specifically the wisdom of humility. The good life, this life can feel like the carrot and the stick, right? The signs out there, I'm sure it comes up occasionally in commercials and whatnot. But at times, if we're honest, it can feel like the carrot and the stick, unattainable. And I would go so far to say that a lot of that is because we go the path of the way of the world. We don't seek out the wisdom of God. We don't seek out the sound principles of God's word, of how he made the world, based on the fear and the trusting of the Lord. You know, just as God totally transformed Dan's life, changed his family tree, that is the power. It is more precious than jewels. Seek after wisdom and keep it with one another, you know, submitting to his word, the preaching of his word, encouraging each other throughout the week. Seek after wisdom and keep it and find the joy of this blessed life. Life with God and life with his people. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we rejoice in you, a God who desires to bless us, to bring life and life abundant, and that you call us to seek after wisdom, to find it, to live in it. God, give us grace, give us your spirit, and give us a zeal for hunger, a hunger for righteousness, for truth, and for your ways. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.